Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got some news on Giga Berlin, some interesting marketing happening in China, news on the Tesla Semi, Elon tweeting about suppliers, some macro news with Tesla actually being mentioned by the government, that's a rarity, and a couple other things as well. It was another really low volume day for Tesla stock today, about 23 million shares trading hands. Depending on how after hours volume looks, this might be the lowest volume day since mid-February. Nevertheless, Tesla did finish up 1.9% today to $683.80. That compared to the NASDAQ, up 1%. All right, first up today, we've got news on Giga Berlin. I think Bloomberg was the first to report on this, but some other outlets have as well. Tesla has reportedly sent a letter to Germany complaining about the lengthy approval process for the Berlin factory, noting that Tesla has, quote, learned firsthand that obstacles in Germany's approval processes are slowing down the necessary industrial transformation. This discourages necessary investments in clean energy projects and infrastructure and makes it practically impossible for Germany to achieve its climate goals, end quote. So Tesla clearly a little bit frustrated here. I'm sure this has been a stark contrast to their experience in Shanghai, probably not entirely unexpectedly, but they did say it's particularly irritating, according to Bloomberg, that they don't even have a timeline yet for final approval. Bloomberg did receive a comment back on this report from a spokeswoman for Brandenburg's chancellery, who said that authorities aren't legally allowed to differentiate between seemingly climate-friendly projects and those that may be polluting, but the state government has set up a task force to support Tesla's approval process, though I'm not sure if that's a new task force or if that's something that has been in place, because obviously Tesla has been sort of in this ongoing approval cycle for quite some time. Without having seen the letter from Tesla, I'm not sure that their point would have been that climate-friendly projects should receive special treatment, but I think they're probably just saying that if all new projects, some of which would be climate-friendly, are under this sort of approval process, then Germany just has no chance to advance quickly enough. Obviously, the Berlin-Brandenburg Airport is kind of the quintessential example there, where it's taking, you know, 14, 15 years to go from start of construction to actually opening up the airport. So clean or not, if all new projects took that long, obviously that's an extreme example, then Germany wouldn't be able to hit their goals. So Tesla applying some pressure here, maybe not entirely unintentional that this has made its way to reporters as Tesla prepares to start production, which is the other really interesting part about this. So Bloomberg talks about this, but we'll flip over to Drive Tesla Canada on the source here because they had a more specific quote. They report that the letter reads, quote, Tesla hopes to complete construction of the facility and have it operational by July 2021, creating approximately 12,000 on-site jobs and initially providing an anticipated production capacity of 500,000 electric cars per year, end quote. Okay, so awesome. Good to see that confirmation of July. That does match the breadcrumbs that we've been collecting now for a while. But great to see this directly from Tesla, and this letter was dated April 7th, so this is very current information. It is important to remember that operational doesn't necessarily mean, oh, the next day Tesla's going to be delivering cars. It's still going to take them some time to get things ramped up and to get production to a level that they're okay to start delivering those vehicles. In Shanghai, we've seen that take a month or two, both for the Model 3 and for the Model Y, and in each case, Tesla waited until the start of the next quarter to actually begin deliveries. So pending all these final approvals and if Tesla's actually able to meet their timelines, maybe we see something sneak into late August or early September, but I think I'd have to see October as probably a safer bet for start of deliveries from Berlin. The other note in there from Tesla was that capacity number of 500,000 per year, but important to note that they say initially providing that capacity. From many other pieces of information, it definitely looks like Tesla is targeting 2 million or more per year longer term. All right, next up here, let's move into China. Tesla has released an interesting, I guess we'll call it a piece of marketing here, probably not an ad because Tesla, I think, is just posting this on social media, but it feels like an advertisement for Tesla's design studio in China. So this features Tesla's head of design, Franz von Holzhausen. This was shared out by Vincent on Twitter today. And for those of you on video, let's just watch the clip in full.
Who did this?
Okay, so pretty cool to see this from Tesla. First off, great acting there by Franz. Definitely a multi-talented individual. So what he is graffitiing on the wall, that says Chinese design. Then we get a nice shot of the Cybertruck in the background. The woman off camera is asking Franz to come check out this design, shows him it, and Franz says, "Who did this?" Then it cuts to a job posting for a design leader for Tesla's China Design Studio. They write, as a leader at Tesla's Design Studio, you will be responsible for leading the design development of Tesla vehicles. You will be part of the team that creates and executes world-class vehicles in terms of form, function, and luxury. Using your considerable production design experience and innovative thinking, you'll be responsible for leading a team of design studio professionals in creating future products. Our design team prides itself on being multi-talented and flexible, and we look for the same in our potential candidates. So kind of fun to see the style of a Tesla ad here, but obviously for human resources, which makes a lot of sense. I think we've seen from Elon, he's just kind of perpetually trying to recruit talent, and Tesla has become more and more active in doing that as time goes by. That was a huge part of the reason that Tesla even decided to hold things like Autonomy Day and Battery Day. It's going to be super fun to see what comes out of these international design studios. Of course, we know Tesla has similar plans in Berlin. With the Cybertruck being featured in this ad, I think that sort of lends people to believe that, oh, maybe the $25,000 Tesla designed in China could be similar to the Cybertruck. That definitely could be the case. I'm not going to read into the Cybertruck being in this specifically, though. I think Tesla just knows that that makes for the best ad. All right, next here, we've got a quick article on the Tesla Semi that I thought was kind of interesting. So this is about a company in Canada, Mosaic Forest Management, that has ordered some Tesla Semis. For those of you that have really listened to this podcast forever, about 3 years ago, I did an interview with a guy named Chase Barber who had reserved a Semi and intended to use it for similar sorts of things. I should probably repost some of those older interviews. I think that'd be fun to revisit. Anyway, Mosaic's chief forester and vice president talked about their use case for the Semi, saying, quote, "As they come down the hill loaded, they're able to regenerate energy and put that back into their batteries, so in this cycle going up the hill empty and coming down the hill loaded, they can generate their own battery supply on a daily basis," end quote. Well, hey, that sounds great. Kind of tough to beat that. Sounds like a perpetual motion device that couldn't really actually be possible, but this is actually already happening with dump trucks, specifically one called the E-Dumper at a quarry in Switzerland that generates actually 200 kilowatt hours each day of surplus energy from doing its mining job. Pretty cool that we could soon see Tesla vehicles on the road that are actually doing a similar thing. And, well, I mean, what better argument for vehicles to grid than that if this is generating surplus energy, obviously in this very specific use case, but I'm sure they'd love to be able to extract that out and use it somewhere else. Next here, we've got a quick tweet from Elon to discuss. Late last night or early this morning, I don't know, 4:41 a.m. Austin time, Elon said, quote, "Thanks Tesla suppliers for providing us with critical parts," end quote. So of course, we've got to speculate on what this might imply. I think I lean towards just taking it at face value of Elon just thanking his suppliers for what turned out to be a really good first quarter, but I saw a lot of other interpretation that, oh, this could mean good things for Model S and X refresh production. Maybe the constraint has been lifted there, although because we just had the delays in delivery estimates yesterday, I find that to be a little bit less likely, and certainly not enough information there for me to have any sort of high conviction in that suggestion. A lot of discussion on that today, though, so I did want to make sure to cover it. Next here, I want to shift to a little bit more of a macro lens, but we do have a specific mention of Tesla here. So this is from an interview with Yahoo Finance of Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg. Secretary of Transportation Pete doesn't quite flow as well as Mayor Pete, but he does have some comments here about the infrastructure plan and about his agenda in his position. So one of the first questions the interviewer asked was, "What area of our infrastructure from a transportation perspective are you most concerned about?" Buttigieg responded by saying that certainly the basics need attention, roads, bridges, etc. Then added, quote, "But really what I'm most concerned about is making sure we're ready for the future because the world isn't waiting. Electric vehicles are coming. The only question is, will they be made in the US by American workers, or are other countries going to dominate?" End quote. Later on, asked about plans for electric vehicle tax credits, Buttigieg responds saying, quote, "So we think it is important to continue incentivizing and encouraging electric vehicle adoption. We've got to make sure that electric vehicles are not just a luxury item, especially because the fuel savings from not having to pay to fill it up with gas will be especially meaningful to lower and middle income American car owners. But first, we've got to make sure that we're producing them at scale, drive those costs down. And again, we don't have time for that to simply play out on its own. We've got to make some smart investments as a country to make sure it happens sooner so that the electric vehicle future really is made in America and that the workers creating the future are American workers," end quote. Immediately after that, interestingly here, Buttigieg was asked directly, "Have you met with Tesla and CEO Elon Musk?" He says, quote, "So we did have a conversation hosted by the White House with automakers, including Tesla and their leadership, and will continue to be in dialogue, as you would expect, certainly anybody doing transportation policy to be with the leaders from all these business sectors, just like we're in touch with labor groups, advocacy groups, and of course, with Congress and with mayors who are so eager to see something get done," end quote. So good to hear that Tesla has been at least involved in these conversations. Previously, we had heard from Elon Musk on the Joe Rogan podcast that Musk had suggested a carbon tax to the Biden administration. That may have been part of these conversations. Elon said that the feedback he got on that was that it was too politically difficult at this time. But carbon tax notwithstanding, the direction here is very clear from Transportation Secretary's comments, from what we have seen in the infrastructure plan, a huge push for EVs made in America. Tesla should be best positioned to ride that wave. I think the union group thing is the caveat there. We didn't really hear much of that, In the transportation secretary's comments here, he mentioned seeking feedback from labor groups, which is great, but it wasn't overly emphasized or attached to all of his comments. Closing out the macro news here, then we have a couple other quick things. We do have a report here from Reuters yesterday covering some newly released details from a tax proposal that U.S. Secretary Janet Yellen had released on Wednesday, which Reuters says would, quote, replace subsidies for fossil fuel companies with incentives for production of clean energy in President Joe Biden's infrastructure plan, end quote. Reuters continues to say that, quote, a Treasury Department office estimated that eliminating subsidies for fossil fuel companies would boost government tax receipts by more than $35 billion in the coming decade, end quote. So it'll be interesting to follow the tax proposal as well and the influence that that may have on the other side of the coin in terms of subsidies for fossil fuels. There are a number of different studies out there that try to quantify the total subsidies for fossil fuels, and you get a wide range of results, highly dependent on whether or not they include externalities. So I've seen numbers as low as $4 billion a year. I've seen numbers as high as $650 billion a year. I'm not exactly clear if the $35 billion over a decade they say here is the entirety of their assessment of subsidies, or if that would just be what they'd try to include in this proposal. But regardless, some of these subsidies seem to be targeted, so we'll try to keep an eye on this as well. All right, last couple of quick notes for today then. First, there was an article today by Bloomberg about Panasonic and their use of the 4680 cells. I think we've talked about that. I didn't really see anything new in this article. They shared some comments directly from Panasonic, just talking about some of the challenges and advantages associated with 4680 cells. So again, things we've talked about, but pointing that out if you want to check that out. Another quick note, just to follow up on yesterday's conversation about the Model S and X delay. So it did confirm with a number of commenters, thank you for that, that some of their orders have changed from a March estimated delivery all the way out to July, which would be in Q3. I had wondered aloud if that Electrek update actually had meant May, June, because that seemed more likely to me, but it does look like some of these actually are being pushed out to Q3, so definitely disappointing on that. All right, lastly here, just a quick SpaceX update. So SpaceX has rolled out Starship SN15. Remember, they are skipping 12 through 14 due to design revisions. So we go from 11 now to 15, and it is on the launch pad. We don't know yet when a test flight might happen. Sounds like the earliest might be next week, but the following week, probably more likely. So that is where we'll leave it for today then. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, April 9th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.